Well, hello friends, and welcome to the podcast. This is the second one for 2016, and we're calling this one Getting Into Shape. Yes, that's right. This is where our thoughts go at the beginning of a new year, isn't it? Getting ourselves into shape. Working off some of that flab and fat that we picked up over the Christmas New Year period by eating all that wonderfully delicious stuff that we know we ought not to. And so we enter into the new year, and the gyms are full, the runners are out there, and Slimming World and Weight Watchers are doing a storm at the moment, because we're all thinking this is a new year and it's a great start, and this is a chance to get ourselves into shape. So what does that mean? Well, let's have a little bit of a think about that. So Christmas has been and gone, and all the presents have been opened in our house. Now, this is the strange thing about Christmas and Christmas presents. The children open them all up, excited, love them, put them to one side. You have a clear out. This is what happened in our house. You have a clear out, and in the clear out, some of the older toys from my older daughter get taken out of the cupboard to go into the loft. My little boy spots this and he wants to play with it. He's no longer interested in the stuff he's been bought for Christmas, because now he's spotted something new, or at least it's something new to him, and he wants to play with it. And what is it? Well, of all things, it's a little potter's wheel. So what do we do? Well, we have to go out and buy some clay. So Joe goes and buys some clay, and we get the clay, get back home, we get the little plastic potter's wheel out, put it on the table, load it with the batteries, get a little ball of soft clay out of the plastic bag, shape it in our hands, and then put it on the center of the wheel, get a little bit of water, and start to mold and shape that clay as the wheel turns, and away you go. And trust me, you can have lots and lots of fun playing with clay. In fact, the truth is I'd forgotten how much fun you can have with clay, playing with it and messing around with it. So we had quite a few moments just of late, just enjoying getting that clay and trying to mold it and shape it. I don't know whether you've ever done that, but it's not always as easy as it looks. It's quite challenging to shape that clay into something that might represent anything like a pot. Not that that matters, of course, because at the end of the day, we're just having fun playing around with this stuff and just enjoying it together with the children, which is great. And that fun is what family is all about, isn't it? So here's the thing about pottery, and here's the thing about clay that that I didn't actually know, but in doing a little bit of reading around and thinking about this, so once it's fired, once it's baked, this clay, it becomes like an indestructible thing. And so when the archaeologists are out there and they're looking for little bits of fragments that speak to them about past societies, cultures, civilizations, whatever, it's often in the clay that they get the greatest clues. And I suppose this makes sense, because when you go around the museums and you look at some of the artifacts in those museums, what often you see is these little pieces of clay, fired clay. Some of them have pictures formed on them, and those pictures tell us something about past cultures, past societies, and that type of thing. And the reason that is because this clay, once it's baked, once it's fired, once it's hard, it may be broken, it may be shattered, but the clay pieces in themselves become something of a bit of an indestructible item, and so they survive down the centuries, down the millennia even, and when the archaeologists are going searching for clues of the past, it's often these fragments of pottery that are the things that have been preserved better than anything else. And it's in those it's in that pottery that they see some of the clues of the civilization that they're trying to look at, the society, the culture that they're looking into. And interestingly, it's through the pottery and the form and the shape of the pottery that they can discover as they try and put the different fragments and pieces together that allows them to date some of these societies and to date some of the cultures. So this pot making business goes back a long, long way. They reckon that it would have started first of all with probably the lady of the house taking some clay and just trying to roughly shape something as a kitchen utensil or kitchen pot, something that can be used for cooking the family meal in. And so that's the way that would have gone. And then as society moved on and developed and moved forward, then what happened is at some point that they developed the potter's wheel. And the potter's wheel was made up of two round stones, a smaller one and a larger one. It was fixed together by way of like a rod or an axle. And what would happen is that they would spin the smaller stone that was attached via the axle to the larger stone, and they put the clay on top of the larger stone, and away you go, making your clay pots. And that's when pottery became more of an industry, more of a career or a vocation than simply the mum working the clay in her hands in the home to try and make some basic pot that she could cook in. And so these potters would then set themselves up often as an itinerant type of cottage business, I guess, and go around from village to village and town to town, offering to throw these pots and to create them and to make them for families. And that's how it developed, and that's how it moved down the centuries. And then you come into the Bible, and this is where we're going a little bit with this in terms of talking about getting into shape. That there's an interesting picture or parable actually in the Old Testament, in the Hebraic scriptures, in Jeremiah chapter 18, which I'm going to read because this is an interesting picture for us to see and to think about. Jeremiah 18:1 says, "This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him." There's a lot of stuff going off in the parable, because the parable actually becomes a picture of Israel and how God is going to work with Israel and actually deal with Israel in some of their acts of disobedience. And that in many respects is a different story for another day, because for us the purpose of the parable is served in this image, this understanding that here what Jeremiah is saying, what God is speaking to Jeremiah, is that we, if you like, are all pieces of clay. In the same way that I took that piece of clay out of the plastic bag and put it onto our little plastic potter's wheel. So here Jeremiah is hearing this story. He's been told and working up this parable of the clay that's taken, and the potter gets to work on the clay. He wets his hands. That's what I discovered. It's really important. You've got to have wet hands when you're working the clay. And he starts to work the clay, and he starts to shape the clay. And as he's shaping the clay, he discovers all of a sudden that the pot starts to lose its shape. He can't work it any longer. And the reason he can't work it anymore is because the clay is marred. There's a flaw in it. There's something stopping him shaping it. Now, that might be a little bit of grit, or a little stone or something like that, but it's something that as he's shaping that clay, as he's making that form that he wants to make with the type of pot that he's got in mind, as he's running that clay through his hands, his fingers pick up this stone, and all of a sudden what was a nice roundly shaped pot has gone all sorts of ways, because the stone, the floor, has thrown the pot out of shape. And so what does the potter do in the story? Well, this is what he does, is he stops the process. He stops the process. He takes the clay off the wheel, he takes the floor out of the clay, and in taking the floor out of the clay, the stone, the grit, whatever it is, he shapes it back into a ball again, and he puts it back onto the stone, and he starts to cast the pot again. For me, the important part of this message is that the clay is not thrown away, because the potter has the ability to take out the floor. Yeah, you can see where we're going with this. As we say, these podcasts, they're podcasts that are built around the issues of life and faith. And so you can see where we're going with this, that God is the potter, that we are the clay, that we, if you like, are being shaped by his hand into something that is going to reflect his intention for our life. He comes across the floor, he comes across the grit, and what does he do? He takes it away, and he doesn't throw the clay away. He casts the pot again, because he's in the business of making something beautiful, making something purposeful, making something useful out of that piece of clay. And if we carry the analogy on, out of your life and out of my life. And this, my friends, has got to be a real encouragement. Because if God is the potter, and if we are the clay, now let's throw this image a little bit further back. Let's move right back to the beginning of the Old Testament, right back to the beginning of the Torah there, Genesis chapter 1, the creation story. And what are we seeing there in that story? In that story, we are seeing that God creates you and me out of what? Out of the dust of the earth. He takes the clay and he begins to form and shape something out of it, because he is in the business of making beauty out of clay. Now, sometimes you may feel like that's all I am. I'm just a piece of clay, man, just a piece of basic clay, not even fine china. I'm just a piece of basic clay. What good is my life? What purpose can I really serve? What value is there in me? And maybe certain experiences have caused you to think that about yourself, to see that in yourself, and for whatever reason you've not been able to see beyond that. Well, I want to take this story today and speak encouragement to you and to all of us that God really is in the business of making something quite beautiful and quite wonderful and quite purposeful out of our lives. Now, we were saying earlier that civilizations, societies, cultures, etc. are dated through pottery, because that's a way in which reliable data can be gathered together to begin to identify the date of a culture or a society. Of course, the other issue is that these pots, they all take different shapes and different forms and different sizes, which leads to another question. Why do we feel that we need to compare pots, man? Why don't we just take the shape that we are? And in taking the shape that we are, get into shape. Get into the shape that is running so clearly in the potter's hand. Why don't we allow him to work the clay of our life, taking what he has to say, taking our fundamental understanding of life and purpose and creation and destiny from his story, from his great story. And why don't we allow those themes, those truths, those elements of purpose and intention to become the things that then go on to shape our lives? And in doing that, we discover purpose, we discover reason, we discover meaning, because we're allowing the potter to form the clay that we are and become the vessel that ultimately he has in mind for us. David, when he was writing one of the Psalms, Psalm 139, he speaks there about us being formed or shaped in our mother's womb. That's right at the beginning. Right at the beginning of your life and my life, God is there at work, engineering our purpose and our destiny, because he has a shape in mind for you and a shape in mind for me. And that should be a great source of hope and comfort. Why? Well, firstly, because it takes away the need for comparison. I don't need to look at the pot over there and say, well, I want to be shaped like that, because certain pots are made for particular reasons. Some of them are more ornamental, some of them are there as ornaments, as objects of beauty and attraction. Others serve a more dynamic and useful purpose, if you like, because they're meant to carry water, or they're meant to carry stew, or they're meant to carry vegetables or meat or whatever it might be. They're meant to be containers to hold foodstuffs, to keep them fresh and to keep them good. And all of these pots, they take on different shapes in the same way that all of our lives take on different shapes. And in taking on different shapes, they speak to us of God's intention. And so my encouragement to you and to me today is to just rejoice in the shape that we are and that we are becoming. Let's rejoice in the work of the divine God in our lives, the Heavenly Father, the one who is ultimately the potter, the one who comes to shape and to form our lives. And here's the thing, let's not resist the work of the potter on us, those pieces of clay. Let's allow him to shape us into the form that he sees best. Let's allow our personalities and our intellects and our talents and our gifts and our abilities, let's allow all of those things to come into the mix of who we are, and let's allow the potter to form the clay into the shape that he knows best. So let's not resist God's will or his intention or his purpose, but rather let's listen for it, let's feel it, let's feel the hand of God shaping us. Let's feel him shaping us in our personality and in our emotion and in our talents. And let's allow him to form us into the vessel that he wants us to be, that he can see for us. And in doing that, we become that really useful, gracious, helpful, kind, vibrant person that makes his or her unique contribution into the world. God is the divine hand. He is the potter. And this is what Jesus says in the New Testament. In talking about God, he talks about the Spirit of God in this way, as a finger. Let's allow the finger, let's allow the hand, let's allow the shaping of God to take place in our lives so that we become the objects of his beauty and his intention. And his purpose. So getting into shape for the new year, well, there's lots of ways we can do that. Yet don't give up on the diet classes if that's what you're into. Don't pack up on the exercise. It's really important. That's going to help you get into shape. Don't put down those books that you've intended to pick up and read, because they're going to stimulate you and that's going to be a help. Don't give up on those friendships, those things, those relationships that are important into your life. All these things are going to help to bring shape into who you are, and they're going to help to get you into shape for the person that you are intended to become. And most of all, let's take the time to feel God's hand shaping our lives into the people that he wants us to be. Because in that way, we will reflect something of his beauty and his purpose. So So God bless you, friends, and we'll be back again with another podcast in a couple of weeks' time. And so until then, grace and peace to you all.